You know, if you think about it, all the medical devices, the financial systems, and automobiles are increasingly run on software, and really involved intricate software. And then it begs all sorts of questions about if the software doesn't work, who do you blame? Who do you sue? I don't know. John Ellis is president and head of the product at CodeThink. They develop critical software for some of the world's largest companies and all sorts of industries. And he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate it.
I welcome you to town. You're speaking at a bunch of entrepreneurs at DFW Startup Week that's taking place down at SMU right now. You know, I know you've worked with a lot of all kinds of companies, but especially automobile companies. And I got a new car, a BMW electric, the other day. And I was sitting in it and realized that I could watch television, I could watch TiVo on it and do all the stuff and all the new bells and whistles. It occurred to me, it's like an iPhone. It does everything. Oh, and by the way, you can talk on it. And in the case of a car, you can drive it.
So for CodeThink and sort of the software that we talk about and whatnot, this has been an ongoing, why do we trust software? I mean, just there's an entire world. And if you look at online things where we get to, so much of our world is digitally enabled, and we don't really actually understand the why, and we don't understand the how. And so we get to a world where we have today built a world where we have contracts and we have commercial things that say you should trust us, etc. But the data points don't support that. So when we talk about the digitization and the softwareization, if I could use that as a term, right, of all these products, the ones that you were talking about, it is a growing concern. And it is one that, you know, the regulators around the world are trying to address. You have UN 155, you have the White House under the Biden administration came out with some cyber rules and some safety rules. You have the Cyber Resilience Act coming out of the EU. So society is beginning to raise up and start asking questions. And fundamentally, it's like, why do we trust software?
And liability, that seems to be a growing concern right now.
Sure, absolutely, right? I mean, the liability of the product and what happens and what goes on and where do we go with it. There's not a whole lot of conversation. And generally, it's product liability. And we have some very clear rules about product liability. But when the product itself is just software, what happens? What does that liability look like? And we're beginning to push on the boundaries of that as we start looking at differing, you know, examples in the marketplace where software itself, no hardware involved, but software itself has made, you know, terrible either errors or mistakes or just acted wrongly.
You know, right? We seem to be at a point where everybody is sort of learning together. We haven't been through this, especially when it comes to artificial intelligence.
Yeah, certainly we've all been, you're right. There's a growing awareness now because of AI and sort of what its impacts are across societal norms that is causing a bigger awareness, if you will, about the things to be learned and what we're doing with software. Because you're right. No one asked about putting software in cars, right? Consumers were never asked, is this a good idea? Or society never asked it. We're slowly beginning to ask that question about AI. But there is a broader question about just how much we have built our society around the power of software and sort of what does that mean for us and how do we reckon that and how do we reckon with that?
So when you're talking to a group of entrepreneurs like you have been at DFW Startup Week, how do you tell them to prepare for the world? I mean, I was looking at you started out, were you at Motorola and at Ford, mm-hmm. sort of conventional jobs, and now you're sort of way on the sort of the leading edge of technology. How do you prepare for that sort of transition?
My talk today was a personal one, and I talked about like what is it, you know, where my journey was, and it's one that's defined by curiosity, right? You know, in order to, I mean, I've built a startup, I've sold a startup, I've successfully exited a startup, I've worked in software, and it's about being curious. When asked, like, you know, what would be the one thing that you would, you know, recommend to people? It's like, be curious. It's not about capital or the right business plan. I mean, all those things have to happen, but it's about being curious and recognizing that curiosity is the thing that will drive you. It's the thing that will motivate you because the very end of the day, startup life is a lonely life.
How do you reinforce that, though? How do you prepare for that? I mean, do you take, if you're talking to a bunch of college students, you say, I'll take liberal arts courses so you're well-rounded, or do you want to concentrate in STEM that you can be there? How do you prepare?
Well, I mean, I have four kids. They're all in college now. And I mean, I tell them, right, that part of the defining moment is to be curious. Curiosity is not a technical issue. It's about understanding the world and like, why does something work or how does this work? Certainly those who are in science, STEM, right, are taught the inquisitive mind, the scientific method, trying to understand things and deconstruct things. So there's some teaching there, but more fundamental to that is, right, being curious about why does language work the way it was, like what do people do? Just, you can't teach curiosity, but you can teach people about being curious. And then hopefully they have a curious, a curiosity fire inside them that gets lit. So for my kids, I'm always like, you should be asking why. I mean, I don't care what you've done, but ask why. And ask the why again, right? The five whys or don't just take what you've seen at surface. Understand it a bit more and be able to describe it, be able to explain it, and then be able to maybe even teach about it.
Yeah, how do you massage that information? You're an intellectual sponge. You accumulate all this knowledge. You find out why, and then what do you do with it?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, ever since an early age, even when I was in undergrad, I would teach I would do tutoring at the math lab or the computer lab, the engineering lab. And I found a passion for it. And it's kind of unique. I mean, but yes, I do like to teach. I do like to convey. And so there's a way that I can serve as a model, and both for my kids and others. Like, this is what curiosity looks like. This is what it feels like. This is what is able to be accomplished. And here are the examples for me personally, right, throughout my life that I've been able to bring forward and sort of where the successes come from.
So aside from just your kids, and you've got a large chunk of the upcoming generation. You optimistic about this generation? Do they seem to have that ability to question?
I mean, you know what? It's I think in the macro level, yes. I do think. I mean, there is something about human empathy and human compassion that is noticeable in some of the social sciences where. Screen time and screen life do lead to different outcomes. But I think there's the human spirit is something that cannot be or should not be underestimated. And regardless of my kids being a perfect example, sure, they had a lot of good screen time, but they're also good people. Like that, I can see how they interact with others. So across the board, yeah, I'm more hopeful than not. Absolutely. Certainly, this is going to be a different form of a generation than maybe my generation or others were for. Just the technology, what's available, and sort of the other challenges. But again, we've had that for every generation's had certain kinds of challenges. So I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic, and with a careful eye, I'm going to help my kids hopefully navigate this.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know that I see the end game out there, John.
Well, I mean, okay, well, the end game is be better today than you were yesterday.
Yeah, good point. The
golden rule, right? Do unto others what you want done. And do you like? There's a couple of different big macro views of the world, right, that you can say that's what we're looking for. Do better, right? Do unto your neighbors, right? There's a couple of different, sort of ethos that way. But I just think just broadly as a human being, right, the end game is be better today than I was yesterday.
John Ellis is an entrepreneur and a critical thinker and president of Code Think and those all sorts of things. Good to have you in town. Thanks a lot for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks. For more of a conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.